take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter number 13. As you look at the Bible in Acts chapter number 13, you don't have to turn back, but we see that there, it tells us that there are supposed to be witnesses in Jerusalem, witnesses in Judah and Samaria, and witnesses to the ends of the earth. God's gave us a duty. God's gave us a job. Has anybody in this building between these four walls, have you ever heard what the Bible, what people call it, what the Bible instructs us called the Great Commission? Anybody ever heard of the Great Commission? It's a commission of somebody way back then. Has nothing to do with us today. Oh, I don't believe so. It was commissioned to the church. Are you saved? You're part of the church.
That's right.
Amen. So you've been commissioned. You've been called to do that. And so as you look at the book of Acts, you'll find in chapter 1 through 8, they're getting back to the basics. I mean, the church has started. This is a basic church, if you will. Then Acts chapter 8 through chapter 12, verse 25, they begin the outreach as evangelism. They're going to Judah and Samaria and the othermost parts of the earth. Then we finally come to chapter 13, we're at, and they're witnessing to the ends of the earth. They're spreading out. And we see here they're headed out to a church in chapter number 13 and verse number 1. Now they were in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord, that means as they worshiped, as they served in the church there at Antioch, you see, as they're laboring, you see, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, let me ask you something else. I need a little response here. Has anybody heard that in the Bible that it talks about that your prayer and what? Okay. How many even knows what that means? Okay, a few. Okay. Okay, I figured there's three it did. And fasting means withdrawing yourself from food. Amen. What? Seeking God. I mean, it's a desiring. And you know what? Something that is, it's a human desire. It's a natural desire. And it's really a right desire. That is, we desire food. God made us that way. And they restrain themselves from doing that. They're praying and fasting. If I could put it this way, they're serious about serving God. And they're serious about seeking God. And then look what it says. Fasting, so they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul, which we know as Paul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, now hold it now, this is not just that group of, just this group of prophets and teachers, but when we're talking about, I believe this is talking about when the church, when they had prayed and fasted, the Bible says they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Cilicia from thence, and they sailed to Cyprus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. God, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for saving us. God, I pray now that you will, Father, touch our hearts once again for this thing called missions. And Father, may Philadelphia Baptist Church be a mission-minded, mission-hearted, and a mission-sending church, we pray. Now lead us and guide us, help us, anoint us, and fill us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Somebody asked the question, why missions? Why does the church continue to preach? Why does it continue to declare the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and try to go into the unknown regions of the world to preach the gospel? Why continue on? It's been over 2,000 years now since this commission has been given. I mean, shouldn't the church try to do something new? I mean, shouldn't we try to start something maybe that would be more helpful to those around us or more helpful to those in the world? Well, may I say there's nothing greater, there's nothing more helpful to the world and to us around it. That is to get the gospel to the unknown thousand that have never heard the gospel, to get people saved. You said you want to change America, get people saved. You want to change the world, get people saved. There's something about when the gospel goes into a world, when it goes into a country, how it changes that country when they hear the gospel. And so why continue on with missions? Well, I believe we still need to continue with missions here in our own nation. Now, some people separate, and we try not to do that, but we have missionaries that are on the state side. But it seems like sometimes we think about the missionaries on the state side that they're not really as much missionaries as those that's on the foreign side. Amen. But they're all God's missionaries. They're all to be mission. They have a mission. And may I say, America is a mission field. You know, the most, I done a little survey, or a little study, I should say, on the internet. And, of course, you know, Barnes does a lot of statistics statements. And they said this, they done a survey, and they talked about the most church cities. And you know what the number one church city is in America? It's Chattanooga, Tennessee. Is the most, so you're living near one of the most church city. The second one was Salt Lake City, and I don't think they got the right kind of church, but anyway. But that's Salt Lake City. Then there was two cities in Georgia that was third. That was Augusta and Aiken, Georgia, at 57% church. And then it was Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And then Alabama had three that tied for fifth place. That was Birmingham, Tuscaloosa, and then Anniston. I couldn't figure out how to say that for a second. I know what it is. Anniston, Alabama. And so those tied for three. But you realize in the midst of that, there's also five unchurched cities. And there's a lot of cities that's unchurched. I mean, the five most unchurched cities. And the very first one was San Francisco. Oakland and San Jose. Those three, they tied all for first place for being unchurched, the most unchurched cities in America. We realized that there was Reno, Nevada, Springfield, Massachusetts, and then Boston, and then Las Vegas, Nevada. These are unchurched cities. Now, I don't mean they don't have any church, but I mean that as far as population, they are the most unchurched cities in the United States. Do you realize that there's people that live in the United States that has never heard the gospel? We don't believe that, but I told y'all last couple of Sundays ago, I was preaching. I ran into a man when I was in Bible college, he got to lead him to the Lord, that had never, had just heard the name about Jesus, but really did not know about the gospel. There's people that knows about religion. They know about churches, and they know about, but they've never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. A man talking about a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, that came and lived on this earth and died on an old rugged cross for the sins of mankind. And on the third day, arose from the grave to justify, to declare us righteous. He took our sins upon Calvary, where you and I would not have to be sinned. We would not have to bear our sins. Jesus paid our sin debt. Nobody else paid our sin debt. Jesus paid our sin debt. And Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Hey, I'm afraid to tell you, but it's not the Baptist way. It's the Jesus way. It's not the Methodist way, the Episcopalian way, the Catholic way. It's the Jesus way. Jesus is the only way to heaven, my friend. Jesus is the only one that paid the price for us. He's the only way you and I are going to get to heaven. And if you don't receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're not going to heaven. And there's a multitude of people that sits in this state and sits in this world, in the United States, that has never heard a clear presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So why continue on with mission? Well, I think the need's still there, don't you? And so I've just got some reasons here. These people were sent out. These missionaries, these men were sent out as missionaries. And God had what he had called them to do. And this church was involved in sending out missions. And I want us to be involved in sending out missions. You said, "Why, preacher, why should we be involved? Why should we?" First of all, it's a command from God. It's a command from God. Matthew 28 tells us, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Hey, he's saying all power. He said, I have all power to do anything I want to do, to say anything I want to say. Hey, if he spoke to tell the rain to stop and the wind to stop blowing and the winds to die down, what happened? Amen. If he spoke and told the rooster to crow, guess what happened? It crowed. Amen. If he told a whale to swallow Jonah, guess what happened? He has all authority. And he just said that. He said, I'm all powerful. I have all authority. I can do anything. And guess what? The very next thing he says, go ye. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Because I'm the all powerful one. They need to hear about me. We've been commanded. The great commission has been given to you and I. We've been commanded to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Yes. You know what he was saying to them? You go, I'll go with you. You preach, I'll be right beside of you. You sin, I'll go with those you sin. You sin, I'll help you to send them. I'll be, because it's my desire, it's my wish, with all the authority and all the power I have, I want you as my people, I want you as the church of the living God to get this good news that Jesus saved to all. The world. Yeah. Not just a certain select of people, but the whole world. You realize in America, in this great, wonderful, and I'm proud to be an American. Amen. In this wonderful world, in this wonderful nation, where is a melting pot of all kinds of other citizens from other countries that's come in and be a part of the United States, but this great United States and all the wonders of it, do you realize, and all the magnitude of it, do you realize we're only 6% of the population of the world? And we use 60% of all the resources of the world. Do you realize, little Amy here, Amy, you're what, 15 now, 14? 13, woo, you're going to get older. Okay. She's 13 years old. Do you have a little Amy here? We use more resources in her life than 13 other children her age, however long the Lord lets her live. 13 in the third world country will use. She'll use 12%, 12 times more resources than they'll use. That means she'll drink 12 times more water, 12 times more food. She'll use more. Amen. I'm just saying, but the resources that we use here, even though we're just 6% of the population of the world, we use 60% of the resource of the world. That's how blessed we are. Amen. And so just one child uses 12% more resources. I mean, it's 12, not just 12, 12 children more. It's just like, she's taking the place of 12 children living on the foreign field just for being here in this world. That's how blessed you and I are. That's how blessed God has had us be in this wonderful land we call the United States of America. God bless the United States of America. Thank God that you and I are here. Amen. We've been commanded to go and reach a lost and dying world. We've been commanded to take the gospel to those that have not heard. J. Oswald Sanders said this, and I quote, "Our responsibility for the salvation of the heathen will be as great, our responsibility now will be as great as our ability and opportunity to give them the gospel." Our responsibility now will be just as great. So that simply means this: if we have the funds, if we have the ability to do it and don't do it, we'll be held accountable for not doing what God said to do. Yes. Yeah. Amen. Well, let me put it down to Epis country folks to see. If I lie, Brother Luke, I'm going to give you a test here. You're a preacher, right? If I lie, is that a sin?
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm responsible for that. He that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him is what? Sin. Okay? I know what's right to do. I know what I should be doing. Amen? I know what I should be doing. And this thing should be staying on here, but my tape is, I've already preached my tape off up here. Amen? So this thing may go every which way. But I know that I have a responsibility as a child of God not to lie. And I'll be held accountable for that. And there's not a one in here that would not say, I know when I stand before God, I'm going to have to give account of lying. Boy, I didn't get no amens there, did I? Every one of y'all has told a lie somewhere down the road, and y'all know it. Just be, amen? It could have been a white lie. It could have been a lie. I mean, you know, well, I won't get into that. I'll get in trouble. Anyway. But, I mean, you could have been trying to do right and lied. Amen? You've just been trying to get out of something and lie. It's never right to lie. Amen? But listen to this. But you know you're going to be accountable for that. But the same degree that you're accountable for that lie, no, is the same degree you're going to be accountable for having resources to help people go and carry the gospel, and we've squandered those resources or misused those resources and did not do it. We'll be accountable for that. I tell you, we don't look at it that way. We haven't thought about it that way. I'm telling you what, I'm getting convicted right now. I'm preaching. It's bad when you preach and get convicted yourself when we preach. Amen, brother. Well, usually you do that when you're studying. You get this thing right before you preach it. Somebody say amen. But sometimes when it just gets to come and you get convicted right when you're preaching, it's rough preaching. Well, I tell you what, it might be rough hearing it, but it's truth. It's truth. It's truth that you and I need to realize that we are responsible. This church here in Antioch was responsible. These men, the Holy Spirit said to them, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Because we're into it, work that I have called them. Do we believe when these young couples, when these men and women comes in here and they've came out of a local, I mean like a light, precious, locust faith church just like we have. Amen. I mean, we support Brother Gazaway, Brother West, and Brother Jordan Gazaway. I mean, they're just right down here at Fellowship Baptist Church. Yeah. Churches like ours. And we believe God's called them. We believe that's a church. That church has sent them. Yeah. And so they come within they come within seeking us to help them to get the gospel. And if we don't do that, boy, I believe, help me, Lord. There's going to be a lot. I mean, it's going to be really sad. I'm talking really sad. There are going to be some sad days at the judgment seat of Christ. I tell you what, I really feel sorry for some of those deacons that stands at the judgment seat of Christ that kept churches from supporting missions. Amen. I mean, people were wanting to support them. And the pastor was wanting to. Now, I'm not picking on deacons. I got good deacons, great deacons. But I'm saying, but there's been a many times the church has wanted to go forward in supporting. And because of the leadership of that church, call them deacons, call them elders, call them whatever you want to call it. But and they stopped it. Because they didn't have faith to do it. Or because, you know, we need this money here for ourselves. Yeah. You won't believe this. I'm just going to preach for a little bit. Amen. You won't believe this. But there's some churches, they want to get money just where they know they can survive if they don't have a pastor. Or if they don't have people coming, they can still have their little church. Because that's what it is. It's their little church. Amen. So I've pastored churches that have been in power struggles. Amen. And that's all. It's not about getting the gospel to a lost and dying world. It's not about getting people in. Hey, I pastored a church and we had like 10 or 12 people join the church one Sunday. And one of the men of the church came to me. He said, I am scared to death. These people will change our whole church. I said, they ain't going to change nothing. As long as the pastor and the men of the church don't let them change it, they can't change a thing. Right. Amen. No. People get scared when churches start growing sometime. Get upset. Amen. Problem is, you know what the problem is? It's going to be a sad day for a lot of us. Not just them, it's going to be a sad day for a lot of us when we realize what we could have done in this thing called missions. I'm preaching to myself now. What I could have done, and we didn't do it. Because of lack of faith, a lack of concern, or maybe even ignorance. Just being ignorant of the fact, you know, There's a lot of people that's in church today, and their church won't say nothing about missions all 12 months. Their church won't say anything about missions. They may support missions, but their church is not pushing missions. You're in a church that desires to be mission-minded, mission-hearted, and mission-sending. We desire to be a part of the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We desire to be a part of that. I mean, that's why we had this month. That's why we spent money to have preachers come in and preach your heart different than me as a pastor to challenge you to say, hey, there is a real need out there to get the gospel to a lost and dying world. It's God commanded it. God's commanded it. God's commanded for us to do it. Will you be willing to be obedient to the command of God? Not only the should we get the why missions? Not only because God's commanded it. But guess what? What about the cry of the people? If we wanted to go to Acts chapter 16, the vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man in Macedonia praying, him saying, come over unto us. Come over to Macedonia and help us. Do you realize there's people like that all over the world? They're wanting somebody to come. They want somebody to come and carry the gospel to them. Amen. 53.3 million people dies every year. 151,600 people die each day. 6,316 people dies each hour. People dies every minute. And I cannot honestly tell you the percentage of them are lost or the percentage of them has never heard. But I can tell you this, they've not all heard the gospel and they're not all saved. The cry of the people, Psalms 142, the psalmist said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Do we really care? Brother Stover, Brother Jeff, I really don't think it's a lack of compassion sometimes. I don't even know if it's really a lack of caring. But I think sometimes it's a lack of us just not understanding. We just don't understand that there's, until some of you aboard a plane and fly over to Belize like these other young people has done, you will never understand the need of the gospel in Belize. You know there's a need there. Until you go into Honduras, until you see as they're in the little place there and they're feeding all these people and these little kids, they're feeding them. And then you look at the windows. No glass in the windows, but you see kids' heads all through all the windows. And Brother A.D. and Sister B. took me to Honduras for the very first time I went. Or the only time I've went. And I've seen those kids. And somebody in the group that was with us asked, what about those kids? There's names not on the list. There was almost as many kids outside the building as was in the building. This preacher right here knows. We should get him to preach today. He's been a missionary, Haiti. He knows more than what I can even. I'm speaking as a novice. But until you've looked at their eyes and you see those other kids getting just beans and rice and you see those other kids' heads in the window, you'll never get the burden like you need to have it. I can imagine. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to feel. Brother, I didn't even know how to feel, Brother Ryan. I didn't know how to feel. How can you feel for them?
Yeah.
Their names are not on the list. This is all we have. The Great Commission has been given us to get the gospel because of the cry of the people. The people are lost. They need more than just food. They need the gospel. this morning, are we willing to really see the need of sending missionaries? There was a need here. This church seen the need. I mean, they prayed and fasted. Can I give you one more and I'm done? I've got several more here to give. I think I've got six or seven. I'm just going to give you one more. Maybe I'll finish tonight. We have a concern, or we have a command, we have a cry. And then we, if we want to go to Luke chapter 16, we have even a concern from hell. There's a rich man in hell. You know what he cried out? And then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, talking to Father Abraham, that thou wouldest send him, talking about Lazarus, to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he might testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But it fell on deaf ears. And he's talked about it, said, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen to one of those he raised from the dead. I mean, are we willing to send? I mean, there's people praying in hell that somebody would go by to their loved ones and witness to them. That somebody would get a tract to them. That somebody would get the gospel. Somebody would start a church in their area and win their loved ones to the Lord, because they don't want them to come to this awful, awful place called hell. What kind of church are we? I know if I want to, Brother Davenport, if I want to evaluate, Brother Derek, if I want to evaluate, and I believe Brother Ware would vindicate what I'm fixing to say, our church is probably doing more than a lot of churches is for mission. Tremendously more. But that does not mean we have arrived. We have not arrived. Our responsibility does not lessen any just because we're doing good. Yeah. Our responsibility will be relinquished when we've done all. Yeah. Amen. When we've done all we can. And you said, preacher, you're just trying to give people give a bunch of money. Now, I'm not trying to do that. It isn't in the amount that you give. It's in what God wants you to give. If you gave, if Brother Luke gives $5 and I give 50, if God lays 50 on my heart, I'm to give 50. He lays 5 on his heart, he's to give 5. He's done just as much as I've done. Amen. In the economy of God. God help our church. I like what Ed Stetson said. He said, it's not God's church has a mission. Listen to this. It's God's mission has a church. Yeah. He has us. God has his church to fulfill his mission. We serve a missionary God, which means we must be a missionary people. And it means we should not be surprised by our Lord's parting words when he instructed, as he left out of here, before he left, before this two-letter word, he said, go, 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 go. That's what he wanted us to do, go. I really thought I'd preach this whole thing, but I don't think the Lord wants you to. We have a concern from hell. Hell is real. We still believe hell's real? Time is short. And the need is great. What will we do? How will we seek to do what we should do to get the gospel to a lost and dying world? What will we do? Will we say, it don't cost you anything but some time. Will you pray? You say, preacher, I don't have a dime to give. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I'm not against people that does this way. I'm not against it. But you ain't got to give up a Coke or a meal. You ain't got to do that. Hey, I serve a great God. Now, if God wants you to do that, that's fine. But God can supply your need plus supply what he wants you to give. Amen. We act like we serve a poor God. Amen. It ain't nothing you can do anyway. It's what he's going to do through you. Will you allow God to work through you? Thank God for missions. Thank God, I'm excited to put some money in the offering plate every time for missions. Why? Because I believe in our 123 missionaries. I believe that they're getting the gospel out. I believe they're doing the work. Hey, you go back and read the letters. You'll see people getting saved. What was it when we read it this month? What was it? 600,000, 700,000, 800,000 got saved? What else? What could you invest in that's any greater? We're standing our heads about.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you this day. Thank you that we can be here to worship you. I pray that we take what we heard today to heart and apply it to our lives, Lord. And just help us and use us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.